we bring before him. As part of that request, all of it is part of that request, and tonight will be no different. There's a focus of this service, and it is a crucial. I'm so happy in the Lord, but I'm not ever so happy in the Lord that I'm not very serious about where souls spend eternity. I heard a testimony of a church in our area that has grown from 30 to 1,200 very, very fast. I heard the testimony of how that church grew from 30 to 1,200. And it's a phenomenal thing what the Lord has done. I heard about how God opened doors and how God brought people and drew people. What I didn't hear is about a soul being saved, although there must have been some souls saved. I didn't hear about the transforming power of God in the lives of those people. I heard the numbers. I just heard numbers. And it seemed like all of the supernatural was to produce the numbers. There wasn't one mention of a changed, transformed life or a soul being saved or anyone being delivered or set free. It's just that through these various things that happened and people heard about this and doors opened here and numbers showed up. And I kept waiting for the mention of a soul that was saved, that someone had, as Paul put it, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God. And I realized that there's a whole area of Christianity where there are people not all that concerned about turning people from darkness to light and from serving Satan. In fact, I have heard recently some people so committed to not get into legalism that they're in such a liberalism that it's absolutely unbelievable. If you mention repentance, they consider that a work, and we're not saved by works, so they don't teach or preach repentance. Repentance is not a work to earn your way to heaven. It's a change of mind so that God can change our heart. Can you say, man, it's an incredible day to be living when so many people are in church, but there's no fruit to show that they are followers of Jesus Christ. They claim Christ. They're going to have a funeral that puts them in a front row in heaven because they attend that church. Amen. They live like the world. Their values are like the world. Those are not works that get you to heaven, that change, but the change proves that salvation has occurred. Amen. And this is a great day if you're saved, but this is a great day of deception if you're not saved. And we need to pray for those who are in the darkness of deception and pray that God will confront them, amen, with the true need and what it really means to be saved today. Hallelujah. Everybody I know that got saved back in my day, Brother Taylor, their life changed as a result of that incident. It wasn't some light thing. It was a mighty thing. Well, I didn't mean to bring you down. We're going to worship God right now. But how many people in this room are saved and you know you're saved? You had an encounter with God. How many did it change your life? You're not the same in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, let's lift him up tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. We'll just sing about three songs because time is fleeting. And my wife is ministering to our old doggy. She's not doing good, but she's not dead yet. So we'll see what happens here. My dad's praying for her recovery. He don't want to let her go. He loves that old dog. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're never going to stop praising him throughout all eternity. If you think it's going to get boring, you need to get a real glance at what it's going to be like. There's going to be such glory. It's going to pull praise out of us every day of our life. Eternity with him in the place that he's prepared, and the new heaven and the new earth is going to be beyond anything we could possibly imagine. And yet we're going to spend eternity I can't imagine having a body like in fashion, Brother Taylor, just like his glorious body. I just can't imagine. I can't fathom that. Sometimes I feel this one kind of getting shaky and giving out more quickly. I don't know, Terry, he's found the fountain of youth and won't even give me a drink. I don't know, but but I'm telling you right now, Brother Taylor, I'm so glad you're here, because I used to be the senior minister here, and I think you got me by just a smidgen. Okay, you got me. He will admit it. Just a little bit. Amen. I can't imagine having this body reconstituted, regenerated, and fashioned likened to His glorious body. You know which one that means? It means the one that came out of the tomb. Not the one that went into the tomb, but the one that came out of the tomb. Amen. A body that had flesh and bones, but wasn't limited by time and space. Jesus doesn't have to knock on the door to get the apostles to let Him in. He just appears in the room. And somebody said, well, that's because it was just a spiritual body. Well, amen. He said, a spirit don't have flesh and bones. Can you say amen? This is flesh and bones, but not limited by time and space. Something that will never age, praise God. If I want to come visit you, Dale, I'm just going to show up. I'm not going to knock. Amen. You and Terry will be sitting there, and Terry will be getting his fishing tackle together. Hallelujah. I know they got lakes in heaven. You know they must. Hallelujah. And Dale will be fixing batter for hush puppies. Can you say amen? Amen. And I'll just show up about supper time. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. And fish will be self-cleaning. You. Terry said that. Now I'm talking heaven now. Amen. The fish will just, as soon as you yank them out, they clean themselves and gut themselves. Listen, whatever we can imagine is going to be better than that. Glory be to God. Let's give Him praise. And He's going to pull praise out of us throughout all eternity. We'll never get over getting to heaven. Hallelujah. Woo! Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord. We praise You tonight. We honor You tonight. We glorify Your name tonight. Glory to God. Father, we thank You. 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 I want you to know that in this morning's service, how many were here this morning? The Lord let me know tonight the significance of that service. He very powerfully changed my message, not in a full change, but I didn't get to go down in outline form this morning. Because the enemy is seeking to destroy someone in our midst, literally, physically, and spiritually, to destroy them. And if they don't get away from the doubt and entertaining it and talking it, they're going to allow Him to do it. Not because He's more powerful than Christ, but because they're giving ground and place to Him on a daily basis. It's not something that occurs every now and then. It's something that's consistent. There's a resistance to the victory that God offers. There's a resistance, amen, to everything Christ said that He would do. But there's an openness to the enemy. There's an openness to his suggestive power. And they listen acutely to what the enemy has to say while resisting what God is saying. And I have pastored long enough to see people commit suicide. A lady that came to our church, I counseled her on a regular basis, and I told her how much God loved her. She moved from here, and as long as she was under the influence of the Spirit of God and the Word of God, it gave her the courage and faith, which comes by hearing, to hold on. Years passed, and I didn't hear from her. And I finally got a call from her mother and said, do you remember so-and-so? And I said, yes, I do. She was in our congregation for several years. I said, well, she came to live with me after a divorce in another state. And said, I said, well, how's she doing? I said, well, Pastor, to be honest with you, the depression got so bad that she went into the closet and she hung herself, committed suicide. There was a man that attended our church, and we used to lay hands on him often. He went out to Colorado. Said he was going hunting in the mountains. He went up in the mountains in Colorado. that took a hunting rifle, Sean, and took his life. There was a couple that came to our church. This is not reflected on our church. This is in every church, and the bigger they are, the more frequent it's happened. They came faithfully for a little while. Their 10-year-old son, I baptized. He's now a youth minister in Indianapolis, Indiana. He called me maybe a year or two ago, and he said, "I just want you to know that what happened to me at 10 years old is the foundation for everything that God's doing in my life right now, and it happened right there in your church." His mama called me when his daddy committed suicide. And she said, "If it wasn't for your tapes to encourage us," said, "the anointing is still on those old cassette tapes." She said, "I don't see how I or my son could have got through this tragedy. But we have not only got through, we're on the other side. Our faith in God is still strong." And she said, "I wish I could take a tape player and put it in my front yard, hook it up to a big PA system, and tell people that are going through things and hurting, hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord." This enemy of ours is seriously committed to our destruction. This is no time to play church. We can't afford the luxury of compromise. We can't give ground to the devil. We can't resist God's challenges, because this is serious stuff. And I don't like when things like that happen. But one thing I've discovered, the people that it happened to professed something that they didn't possess. Do you hear what I'm telling you? They professed a relationship with Christ that they did not possess. They had a religion and espoused it, and it was the correct religion. But they didn't have something crucial, and that's a relationship with Jesus. I said a relationship with Jesus, because he said, "If you have a relationship with me, my peace will I give unto you, not as the world giveth, giveth I thee." In this world, the pressure will become at times unbearable. If it was the kind of peace the world has to offer, no one could bear up when the real pressures come. But he said, "This peace I give you is not of this world. In this world, you will have the anguish and the heartache and the heartbreak and the disappointment and disillusionment of living in a fallen world. But be of good cheer." Everybody say, "Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Some little children were christened as babies, and that's all they have to call their faith. And if they pass away after being christened as babies, never knowing Christ or following Christ, someone is going to preach them into heaven. Someone, Sean, is going to tell the people in that audience that there's all there is to knowing God is letting them sprinkle you when you're a baby. Some mother grabbed her child by the hand and drug her forward in a church at 10 or 11 or 12. Preacher asked a pointed question, "Do you believe that Jesus died for you and rose again?" And they're going to say, "Uh-huh." And they're going to call that, Sean, salvation. And that child is never met the Lord. Don't know God. Don't want to know God. No man, and I repeat, no man, comes to me, the Bible said, unless my Father draw them. Amen. If God doesn't do it, it doesn't get done. Flesh and blood does not reveal Jesus. You can't have that accomplished without the Holy Spirit. Just because a Sunday school teacher says so is not enough. Can you say amen? But only my Father and only the Spirit. I'm concerned tonight about church people. We've been praying for the lost. I'm concerned tonight. And the focus of our prayer tonight is on church people. People singing in the choirs. People teaching. I knew of, personally, a promiscuous woman. She taught Sunday school and sang in the choir. And I invited a man to go to church in his area. And he knew her and had a relationship with her. She was married, but she was promiscuous. And he said, "Do you know so-and-so?" And I said, "Yes. Yes, I do." He said, "Well, I've been out with her. She sings in the choir. She teaches Sunday school. What can that church tell me? What can they offer me?" Somebody told her she's saved. Somebody told her that's how salvation acts, because if you add anything to it, it's works. Works can't save you. But when salvation occurs, works verify that there's something called spiritual regeneration. And we've been translated out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. That occurs when you truly get saved. Can you say amen? You change masters when you truly get saved. Hallelujah. I have watched this for all of these years. And with bitter tears, I've cried out to God, "Lord, send a revival to the church so that people in the choir will get saved. So that ministers in pulpits will get saved." You say, "How can a man preach and not be saved?" It's simple. You can be trained. You can go into it as a profession. Ravi Zacharias said one of the things that's troubling to him as a professor in a Bible college is that those graduates getting ready to graduate from Bible school and go into the ministry, Brother Taylor, would ask him invariably, "Which part of the country has the best, for which part of America do they pay the pastors the best? Where's the pay level the best? In other words, where should I go to put in my resume where I'm going to get the best benefit package and the best money?" It's a job, not a calling at that point. And you know what you have in the pulpit then? A hireling that you're paying to be there, and that's the only reason he is there. And the Bible said, what happens when the wolf comes and the sheep are threatened? The hireling fleeth. He's got no personal investment in those sheep. He's not going to lay down his life. He's not going to risk anything of his for them. He's going to give them everything they want to keep his job. And that's why the challenge isn't there. And that's why there's so many empty professions. Will you listen to a scripture tonight? And I think that's all we're going to sing because our time is fleeting. Listen, I want us to get ready to pray this prayer. Do you say Titus 1, verse 16. They profess that they know God. And you know what? They would have told Titus for writing that or saying that. They would have said, "You're judging me." No, he's not judging them in the sense of what should happen to them. He's judging whether or not that their life represents anything that resembles the mighty change that comes when Jesus comes in. Amen? So Titus 1:16 says they profess. Have you ever heard it? They profess that they know God. But in works, we're not saved by works, but we are created unto good works. After salvation occurs, honey, let him that steal no more. If you were a womanizer before you came to Christ, you're not supposed to chase women after you come to Christ. Is that all right with you tonight? If it isn't all right with you, you picked the wrong church and the wrong preacher. You're in for a rude awakening. And we might as well to get that settled up front very quickly. Amen. If your life didn't change, you didn't meet Jesus. How do you know? Because your life didn't change. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being unto every good work abominable and reprobate. A man followed me as the next guest speaker at a church where I was there on Pastor Appreciation Day. And then they called me back after that, and it was a men's day, and I prepared to preach on a men's message. I had a good men's message. I haven't got to preach it yet. If we ever have a men's day, I got the message. It's about David. It's about a man after God's own heart. And the reason David qualified for that, because God said, I will choose me a man after my own heart that will obey me in all that I say unto him. And then he picked David. So David became that man after God's own heart. And the issue was not anointing. The issue was not how many revelations. The issue was not the power to slay giants. The issue was the humility and the commitment to obey God. Amen? So I had that sermon ready. And I was in this church. Something happened since that Sunday. I was there for pastor appreciation. The ladies came. And there were more ladies than men. But I thought, that's okay. It's a men's meeting. They're here to listen. But I'm going to address the men because I'm called back to minister here in the men's meeting. And so I opened my scripture. I had that outline. I was prepared to preach that men's day message. Spirit of God came on me as soon as I stood up at the pulpit. And I started talking about, amen, being delivered from the power of sin and Satan himself. And God took me to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 1 in this very liberal church. And I didn't plan that because, you know, I didn't go there to rock the boat. I went there to just try to add my 2 cents worth and see where God would take it. But God came. God sent me to rock the boat. I've often said it'd be better the preacher rocked the boat than the devil wrecked the boat. Can you say amen? I still believe that today. I want to be challenged. I don't want to draw my last breath and find out that I wasn't ready to meet the Lord. Can you say amen? I want to know that. We used to sing it. I've been changed. I've been newborn. Are you sinlessly perfect? Are you kidding me? Can you say amen? Nobody is. But have I been changed? You better believe I have. Amen. Praise God. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. New creature? Then there must have been a change taking place. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. Can you say amen? This is not an empty profession. This is a change that occurred. I don't want you to be a judge of people, but I want you to be a judge of true salvation. You need to know if you're truly saved, and you need to know what it means to be truly saved. Because, honey, it's too late after we draw our last breath to figure that out. Here's what Jesus said. There shall be many, not a few, not an aberration. There shall be many on that day. You know what they're going to call him? Lord. That was saying to me, Lord, Lord. You know what Jesus said about calling him Lord? Number one, no man can call Jesus Lord but by the Holy Ghost. If God didn't draw you and God didn't reveal it, it's not reality in your life. And number two, Jesus said, why callest thou me Lord and do not what I say? You can't call Jesus Lord and claim him as Lord and live a life of blatant disobedience. 1 John says, he that committeth sin. Now we all have failures and faults. How many know we all need to pray the Lord's Prayer, pattern prayer that said, Lord, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our that. But listen, we're talking about living in habitually. Say that. Living in habitually. He that committeth sin lives in habitually is of the devil. That's pretty plain preaching, isn't it? Amen. Well, they would have kicked that guy, which is John, out of the church I was preaching in. Or preaching that. So, God laid it on me to bring the message. So, I went to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 1 without my Bible. And the Spirit of God came upon me and says, For as much as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself with the same mind. For he that suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no more live his life to the will of the flesh, but to the will of God. How many know if you get saved, you care about what God's will is? Amen. You start caring about what God says is right and what God says is wrong. You struggle with your flesh. Amen. But you don't struggle with his lordship. Can you say, amen, you don't press back against his right, amen, to speak to us according to his will and purpose. We bow to him. Hallelujah. Hallowed be thy name. And it was a well-received message, believe it or not, in that church. But guess who came in after me? I heard the guy's message, you know, by word of mouth. He came in to kind of, I guess, refute. Make sure that there was nothing you could do to save you. So he said, if you were in a bar. Now he came after me as the next guest speaker. If you were in a bar, you've come to Christ, now you're in a bar. You're drinking all night long. You're shooting up drugs. You see a lady, you're married, but you go over with that lady. You go in the back room. You have a relationship. My Bible said when you join yourself to that lady, you're joining Christ. There's something metaphysical takes place, something spiritual. It's more than just a physical thing and a sin. It is beyond that. Holy Ghost dwells within you. The 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 Holy Ghost dwells within you. If you're really saved, the Holy Ghost indwells us. Amen. As we receive him. Listen. And you have that relationship. You walk out front. And you're mad at God over something. So you curse God to his face. And shake your fist at heaven. And while you're inebriated, fresh from your sin, shaking your fist at heaven and cursing God, you're hit by a taxi or a truck. You go to heaven. That's all salvation means to them. It doesn't change the life and the heart. I've heard drug dealers killed in a drug deal gone bad. Preached into heaven. Given a front row seat in heaven. Telling every young person out there that was baptized at 12 years old, you don't need a life-changing encounter with Jesus. And sin doesn't bother God even after you get saved. And you can live that kind of life and die that kind of death and go to heaven. But the Bible says, no, you can't. That's why there's going to be so many in that day. It's two people to fault. Number one is the minister preaching an erroneous message and not telling the whole truth. And second, the people that would rather hear that than the truth. Amen. You can't just hold the minister alone accountable. Because if you embrace that, amen, because you want to sin without consequence, amen, you become as guilty as the person preaching it to you. And my Bible said in the last days, they will literally heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Tell me what I want to hear, and I'll come to your church, support your church, join your church, teach in your church. But one thing that church cannot say, that they didn't have a witness. Amen. That God was bigger and better than that, and salvation was more than that, and God doesn't want to forgive your sin and leave you enslaved to Satan. He wants to set you free. Can you say amen to serve the living and the true God? I am so tired of going to funerals of lost people. And if I preached funerals, I didn't know where that person was going. So I didn't really talk a lot about where that person was. Amen. Someone would give me a report, and I said, it's been reported that so-and-so came to Christ. Here's what you can expect if you trust Christ. Amen. And death comes. If you're really a Christian, this is what you can expect. You've been there when I've done that. Amen. I thought I was tactful, but I didn't preach anybody in the front row seat in heaven, regardless of how they lived or what was going on in their life. That's not salvation by works. That is works that confirm that salvation, biblically defined, has truly occurred. For if any man be in Christ, he's a what? The same old rotten scoundrel he ever was. No, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have Become new. Everybody say new. This gospel is endorsed by hell itself, the false one. Because the devil would rather you have a false security than have true salvation. Amen? Oh, I want my kids to tell me they're saved. I don't want to have to tell them. I want them to report to me I've come to know Jesus. How many remember the sensational nightingale? If you don't, how many remember the music box that we put on old 16 millimeter at our church? Remember that? Remember that group that was doing, actually those angels were not doing the singing. It was the sensational nightingale. Well, I want to play a sensational nightingale song for you to bring a message to you tonight. Because one of them, Mylon Lefevre, sang gospel songs with the Lefevres. But he never knew Jesus as his Savior. He was in church from here up and sang with his mom and daddy, brother, sister. He didn't know Christ as his Savior. He went from singing for God to opening for the Rolling Stones. What an incredible transition. Amen. He could live in sin, party with the rock stars, and have no qualms about it because he had never been saved. But when he got saved, all of that changed. Can you say amen? I said, when he got saved, all of that changed. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, there's a guy that plays the guitar, one of the four sensational nightingales. Remember that song they sang and we all got excited and happy back then and shouted? Hallelujah. It was such a joyous song. The music box is a little 20-minute short. It's still got an anointing on it. Hallelujah. That's a sensational nightingale. They must have sung. Because I was young when they were singing like that. That's way back. Can everybody say way back? Way back. I was young way back then. So you know that's way back. If I was young, it was way back. I was young. I was probably 30 years old. Woo, I was young. Handsome dog too, way back then. I'm telling you, you should have seen me. Hallelujah. Amen. Way back then. But listen, that one of them was at a convention of the old time singers. And he made a confession before they sang a song about wanting everybody to be there. Everybody to be there when Jesus comes. To really make it home. To really be saved. To really stand before him. To be sealed by the Holy Spirit. To not have an empty profession, but an actual possession of this thing called salvation. Can you say me? And I was so proud of one of the members of the Sensational Nightingales that had enough gumption and concern, because he was in the midst of a whole bunch of gospel singers, legends of the gospel, amen, particularly in the black community. And I'm going to tell you, when he stood up and admitted that all of those years when he was singing those gospel songs, he didn't know Christ as his Savior. And right after his mother died, he remembered her words and made a personal commitment to Jesus Christ. And now when he sings those songs, he's singing it as a saved man, not playing church. Hallelujah. It really makes a difference when you're saved and not playing church. Amen. So let's just have that. Did I give it to you? I didn't. Okay, then you probably haven't got it. God is good. You're in a church that's going to call people to salvation. Amen. When you do get saved, God wants you to be sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. Praise God. Let's have this song. Listen to the testimony.
50 years, the sensational nightingales been proclaiming our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All that time, I wasn't living the life I was singing about. I was playing church, saying, Lord, Lord, from my lips, but my heart was far from God. We can fool man sometime, but we can't fool God no time. Is it indeed time out for playing church? Mother told me, said, son, don't you play with God like that. It's too dangerous. Then mother said something to me. I never will forget it as long as I live. Mother will look at me straight in the eye. She said, son, listen, don't you know you can sing a lie just as well as you can tell one? Time out for playing church. I laid my hands on mother's forehead. In the casket. I spoke to her spirit. I said, Mother, I'm going to be at that meeting one of these days to see you and greet you. There's going to be a great meeting. And I want to be at the meeting. Hallelujah. Come on. at the meeting.
Well, you so I want to be at the meeting.
Yes, I do.
I want to be at the meeting.
When all the saints get home and the separate, all the right and the wrong, church, I want to be at the meeting.
and amen. Praise the Lord. Would you please prepare this? Hallelujah. I want to make sure everybody I have an influence on is going to be there. James Dobson had a major heart attack 23 years ago. He called his son to his bedside. And his son didn't know if his daddy was going to make it through and live as long as he has, or if his dad was going to go on to heaven just then. James Dobson said nothing else in the world mattered to him at that moment but whether or not his son knew Christ as his Savior. And he said, "Son, when I get there, there's one thing that I want to make sure of, whether I go now or later on. I want you to be there. I want you to be there." I heard an interview with James Dobson and his son last week. And his son said, and his son broke down and began to cry when he retold that story, sitting there with his daddy, James Dobson. And he said, "Daddy," he said, "I want you to know that when you get there, watch for me, because I am going to be there." Can you say amen? Because his daddy said, "More important than anything in your life is that you be there." Can you say amen? That we all get to heaven together. Hallelujah. That you're really saved. This is a church going boy. This is a boy with a daddy and mama that are Christian full out. But you got to meet Jesus for yourself. And God wants you to be there tonight. Can you say amen? There, we all know people, even serving in churches, that need to re-examine whether they really know the Lord or not. Amen. We need a revival in the church that'll bring us to the reality, amen, that there's more to going to church than just holding offices and carrying titles. Preachers that are not saved need to get saved. Amen. Bible teachers that are not saved need to get saved. Sunday school teachers that are not saved need to be saved. Choir members that are not saved need to get saved. Sunday school students that are not saved need to get saved. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Because on that day, that's all that's going to matter. And it's the only thing that's going to get you there. Listen to these testimonies before we pray, because I have a burden tonight for people in church that are not saved and not even thinking about getting saved because someone has given them a false security.
When I was 8 years old, I had a Sunday school teacher. I remember her asking every Sunday who wanted to be saved and who didn't want to go to hell. Of course, no 8-year-old wants to go to hell, so.
We had gathered for See You at the Pole. We were praying, and I remember just tears just started pouring down my face. I did not want to follow in the same footsteps of all the other kids, that I didn't want to grow up and be one of the ones that was out drinking and driving. And I met my husband, and I remember we started going to church. I just remembered that I had been saved that morning at the See You at the Pole, but I'd never been baptized.
One day, seems like it was on a Saturday, I was playing around with some of my toys or something like that, and I heard my mom say, "That looked like the pastor just pulled up in the driveway." And sure enough, my mom come in and said, "Come into the living room. The pastor wants to talk to you for a minute." I don't even remember what was said. There were some tears that, you know, they were really praying, and then it was like all of a sudden the focus was on me, and I just kind of sit there for a minute and didn't really know what to do. And I thought, well, I've been asking Jesus to be my Savior every night when I go to bed. That's what I'm going to do now.
I can remember at 5, my Sunday school teacher, a few weeks in a row, they were talking about God and Jesus, and we were sinners, and that we needed to be saved. After a few weeks, they said, you know, anybody want to ask Jesus into their heart? And I thought, you know, that sounds like something I should do. So they called my mom over there, and I can remember we were sitting out there in this little room, and there was this little table, and we were sitting there, and I could hear the Sunday school teacher whispering to my mom, "I think he's too young." And I just... that just got my attention, and I just kind of sat up and said, "No, I know about Jesus and that I need to be saved and that I'm a sinner, and I asked Jesus in my heart." And they go, "Oh, well, if he understands that, then he's okay."
I prayed a prayer and asked the Lord to save me.
I was baptized by profession of faith.
I said a little prayer in front of them, and there was amens and hugs and tears. And
I was led in a sinner's prayer.
But the whole time that I'm pastoring and preaching and traveling and I've gone overseas and I'm doing the work of the ministry, full-fledged into the ministry, my heart is deceitful and wicked. I'm desiring things that are ungodly. I'm spending much time on the internet, which led to other sins that caused me to have to resign from my position as a pastor.
I had served in the church, and that made me okay. I was the mother of three and a wife, but not living the life of a wife and of a mother, not living the life of a Christian woman.
Let me tell you about the next 16, 17 years of my life. Being a Christian, I should have had the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22, love, joy, peace, patience. What I lived the next 16, 17 years of my life, you'd have to back up to verse 19, where it talks about sexual immorality, drunkenness, being completely self-centered. Everything was about me.
And my brother-in-law was my best friend. And started asking me one night when we were working out, he said, "Are you sure that you're a Christian?" I said, "Oh, man, yeah, 5 years old I took care of that." 6 months later, I was in this class, Bible study at my church called Personal Holiness. And then my life began to change. I started reading my Bible for the first time in my life. And I think it was 1 Peter said, "Be holy for I am holy." And that really bothered me that week. And the next week I read the scripture, Luke 6:46. "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say?" And the more I read it, the more I had a problem. The thing I always depended on, that I was the good boy that everybody thought I was, the more God's word was put in my heart, the more I realized I wasn't who I always thought I was.
I remember it so clearly that God brought to my mind the book of 1 John. I just sat there and I read the whole book of 1 John that night. And that night I made up my mind that if God's word was true, I was lost. If I'm living in darkness and walking in darkness and not living in light, I'm lost. Under deep conviction, I called out to God. I received a relationship that I had never had before, taking care of the sin issues that were in my heart.
God showed me that I wasn't saved. Everything that I had thought was making me saved wasn't. And I just remember that when I was broken, that things that that mattered before to me no longer mattered. I know it may sound funny, but I don't have the desire to serve right now in a leadership position like I always did. I wanted that attention. I wanted that pat on the back because I had accomplished something, not because God had accomplished it.
Wow. If I'm a Christian, look at how I've lived my life. I've been living with a girl for the last 3 years. Drinking and living it up and just doing whatever I wanted to do, with no concern for God, no respect of God at all. And man, it just started hitting me. One thing after another, one sin after another, became so clear to me of how offensive that I was to God. And I just hit my knees. I can remember several times at church going to the altar and just crying out to God. And the fact that I went down to the altar and cried out to God doesn't mean anything. Just that fact alone. But it's what brought me to that point. Something was happening inside of me. God was giving me a new heart. And I was changing.
And the night I got saved, I finally came to the point that I realized that God was so convicting me that I could not change myself. I finally got to the point that there was absolutely no hope. I couldn't do it. And I got to the point that night that I could not go on another minute being me. And from that night on, I was a different person. He changed me. You know, I didn't pray a prayer. I didn't, because I'd already prayed that sinner's prayer 100 times. So that night I didn't feel like I was supposed to pray a prayer. But the crazy thing about it was, is the things that I struggled with the next day really started bothering me, like they never bothered me before. And the next week I started hating the things that I struggled with. And praise the Lord, the next week I stopped doing the things that I was struggling with. And I didn't understand what was going on, because all I'd ever heard was, if you want to be a Christian, just say these magic words and pray this prayer and you're okay. And I'd done that at least 100 times, but all those times never changed me. But now there was something new. There was something different going on. I'd get up in the morning and I'd be in the shower and I'd find myself, I never sing in the shower because I just don't. And I'd find myself singing Christian songs in the shower. And I had that moment that you're looking around and you go, what is going on? And it was the first time I realized there was something different about me. Christ was starting to live in me, and the things of Christ were becoming real to me, and He was real to me. And He changed my desires, and I've not been the same person since.
Praise the Lord. That's what we are to pray about tonight. Compromised Christianity gives a false security. And a false security will damn a soul. And there's a point where we can't preach for smiles, be concerned about who comes back, but we got to get concerned about the souls that need Jesus. Everybody's not going to come to Him. But if we don't tell the truth, nobody's going to know how to come to Him. But if we tell the truth, somebody is going to come to Him. Can you say amen? And I want the somebody that comes to Him to be truly saved. Amen. When they walk away and their life is changed. And I believe we need a move of the Spirit of God in our homes, in our families, and in our churches to show people what these people were shown. And only the Spirit of God can truly do that. And I'm dependent on Him to do it. I want to intercede for people in my own family that are church-going people, that are living a life diametrically opposed to what Jesus taught and claiming salvation. I want them to know. I'm not talking about my son that was delivered from alcohol. He'd never claim something that isn't real. One thing about it, he's transparent and he's honest about his sin when it occurs. Will you come to, and let's pray together? And then we're going to have something sweet to quit off on.
Hallelujah.
Let's pray together. Chuck Swindoll said, the longer that I preach, and he looked out over a successful church and this huge congregation, and as far as success, his books are all over the Christian bookstores. People listen to him on the radio. He has integrity in his home and his family. He has a wonderful church. But he said, the longer that I preach, the more I am convinced that many in my congregation are not ready to meet the Lord. Because there is no demonstrable change that has occurred in their life since they claim to have met Christ. There's nothing to indicate there has been any kind of change. Chuck Smith, I believe it's him or one of the other Bible teachers on Moody, and I don't agree with all the different doctrinal points, but true pastors with a pastor's heart is concerned with more than numbers. Are you listening to me? A real pastor cares about your soul and where it spends eternity. Cares enough to tell you the truth if you never come back to his church, so that at least there's been a witness, something God can use in the future. Listen to me carefully. This minister, I forget which one, I don't think it was one of the major Bible teachers on Moody Radio constantly. And he said, one of his men came up to him and said, one of his staff, and said, "You used to be more joyous and jubilant and happy and joking and merry. What changed?" He said, "Sometimes it's hard to just be laughing all the time when there's such compromise among Christians. When I see in my own congregation so many people living a double standard, it grieves me. And it's such a serious day that we're living when it comes to deception. It is difficult to just be up and joking all the time like I used to be." The Apostle Paul put it this way. He said, "And that cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." When I first read that, I thought about his administrative duties as an apostle. But it wasn't just that. He began to talk about the fact that there's sin in the church, and he's coming in the power of the apostle to deal with that sin. And what's breaking his heart is that he shouldn't have to be doing that, because that sin on that level should not be occurring in the Christian community. You want statistics tonight? The divorce rate among Christians has now risen to the similar, if not the same, as the fallen world about us. That means a non-Christian marriage has so-called Christian. Come on, we're using this term freely now. It's a generic term. It doesn't mean a follower of Christ anymore. Amen. Christian don't mean a follower of Christ. It means you've been christened as a baby, baptized as a child, joined the church and sang in the choir. That's what it doesn't mean, a follower of Jesus Christ. And if we're not followers of Jesus, we're followers of the world. And vows mean nothing. God's word means little. And the Ten Commandments become the Ten Suggestions, and we can break them without any conviction or compunction about it. The divorce rate has risen. When I got married, my wife and I got married back in the day, 1963, Christians shined above the world. Amen. Because we kept commitments. We stayed loving. We forgave. We saw ourselves as covenant people. That's changed. The culture's changed. It's all changed. And it's not just out in the pew. It's in the pulpit as well. Homosexuality, and God loves the homosexual. Sexual sin is sexual sin is sexual sin. Amen? He loves the homosexual. But there are homosexuals now living in that relationship in some of the highest offices of some denominations. Bishops over pastors. It's an incredible day when the scripture is very clear. Let no man deceive you by any means. Let no man deceive you. Someone held a conclave and decided what the church was going to do without biblical guidelines. And the church, instead of changing and challenging the culture, is being, not slowly anymore, but being surely absorbed into the culture. And we are reflecting in the church the sins that will damn souls. Let no man deceive you, the scripture teaches. Neither the idolater, the fornicator, the effeminate, or the abusers of themselves with mankind, hath any part in the kingdom of God. Don't let a man tell you. Amen. We have a severed relationship with a family member simply because my wife and I will not and cannot. We do not criticize. We're not coming down. We cannot endorse. We can't say it's okay. We can't help the devil destroy a soul that we love so much. And because of that, there's an alienation. Amen. And we have no relationship because that person wants no relationship. And we love this dear one so very much. But we're praying that God will move by His Spirit in the church. Amen. Some of these folks are in church. Can you say amen? There's a meeting right now in a major denomination, another major denomination, whether or not to go this way. And they're going to vote to decide whether, amen, to tear out these pages in the Bible. Amen. Listen to this. We're in a nation in decline and a church that's reflecting that decline as well. Amen. The Bible said that in Romans chapter 1 and verse 18 is so clear. People say, oh, that's Old Testament, the culture and the times, and what was wrong then is not wrong anymore. I'm sorry to tell you, amen, that is simply not true. What was wrong then is still wrong now because the God we serve doesn't change with the times. He's not running for political office. He's not worried about what the culture wants. Amen. It's what God has spoken to us. Can you say amen? It said when they knew God, they would not worship Him as God. But they worshiped and served creature more than creator. Therefore, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. You want to know how that looks? Listen to it. It's in your Bible. How many are Bible-believing Christians here? You ought to throw that book away if you don't believe it. But if you believe it, you ought to take a hold of it. And more importantly, let it get a hold of you. Can you say amen? And the Bible says, He turned them over to a reprobate mind. That means a mind that can't cease from sinning. You say, where's the judgments? Why does God let it go on? He hasn't. That is the judgment. And it's a worse judgment than a car wreck. A worse judgment than a cancer. Because these people are going to live their full life out believing they're going to heaven and they're going to end up in hell. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God. You must be born again. There has to be something supernatural occur. He turned them over to a reprobate mind, man leaving the natural use of the woman and burning in lust one for another. Likewise, women leaving the natural use of the man and burning in their lust one for another. He said, my judgment on the rejection of light is to permit them to go into the darkness that they chose over the light, into the deep darkness. Are you listening to me? Those judgments are falling now. When the church can commit these sins with no conviction, that judgment is falling on that denomination. And I would tell anybody that's in it, get out. I'm not asking people to come here from there. I wish they'd come somewhere, though, and hear the truth. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But get out of that. Don't let where mom and daddy went. Listen, mom and daddy, listen, the people that are ahead of some of these churches would turn over. In fact, they'd jump up out of their grave to correct this great wrong. Can you say, man, they did not believe these things. This has been the changes that have come as the culture goes deeper into the darkness. The church that rejects light, amen, is judged by God. And they are headed into that deep darkness themselves. We're living in these kind of days and it gets real serious. Can you say amen? Thank God that guy that sang with the Sensational Nightingales for 50 years came to Jesus and said, Mama, when I get there, when you get there, I'm going to be there. Can you say amen? Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for a move of your Spirit tonight. Because so many souls are lost, so many eyes are blind, so many people are comfortable in their sin because their church has no conviction. Nothing there. Oh God, Lord, I know we haven't grown and many have come and they've run away from here. But oh God, they've found a comfortable place. But Lord, they can't run from you. And I pray that you will find them wherever they are. That you will challenge them. That you will convict their hearts. That you will open their blinded eyes. That you will shake their false security. Lord, I pray, knowing the terror of the Lord and what it means to be lost. Oh God, help us to persuade men and women to go into the highway, the hedges, and compel them to come in and be saved. You know people in church that don't live for God, don't love God, don't care about God, but they give good at the church and they think they can write a check. The preacher's on TV saying just seed for the need. Don't worry about whether you're truly saved or not. They don't care anything about the souls of those people. They care about their pocketbook, their wallet. They don't care if you're saved or not. They never talk about salvation. They just talk about send the seed. All God wants to see is your check. Oh, God wants to see you on your knees. God wants to see your life changed. God wants to see you saved. Jesus came to seek and to save. Oh, Father, I pray for revival in the church. I pray for revival in Christian homes. I pray for revival among Christian moms and dads. I pray for revival in Christian children. I pray for revival. When the dog returns to his vomit, when the pig returns to the mire, somebody says they're saved, but they don't love God. Somebody says they're saved, but they don't care nothing about what it says in His Word. Somebody claims salvation, amen, but they don't bow to Jesus Christ. And they're going to say to Him on that day, Lord, Lord, that's not the day to find out you're not ready. He will say, depart from me, you that what work iniquity. I never knew you. You want to get right down to it. It's not your claim on Him. It's His acknowledgement of you. They claimed Him, but He didn't claim them. So you can claim Him. That's called an empty profession. No one challenged them. One man told me he's a preacher now. He's a Holy Ghost preacher now. He said he never heard the gospel. Never heard the gospel until he was 35 years old. He went to church his whole life. He never heard about sin. He never heard about heaven. And he never heard about hell. He heard little social issues. Amen. A social gospel. He was never convicted of his sin. Although he was christened as a child and told he was saved. But he said, when I met Jesus, all of that changed. I heard the gospel. I realized I was lost. That's why I want to preach the cross and call sinners to repentance. Every real Holy Ghost-driven revival in the world is based on people repenting of their sin and coming to know Jesus. And they love Him enough to suffer for Him or to die for Him. In order to be saved. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Well, Father, I feel it lifting. Lord, let your Spirit move. Let your Spirit move tonight. Let your Spirit move. You touch these people that were in church and told they were all right. You can touch the people we know that don't know you, that are comfortable in church. Oh, send a shaking. Send a mighty shaking. Send a mighty shaking. Send a mighty shaking, O God. Purify our hearts. Purify our lives, O God. That we no more serve sin and Satan and self. Hallelujah, but we serve Jesus. Hallelujah. We seek another kingdom. We bow to another king. Hallelujah. 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 We're not just Pentecostal, friends, because we speak in tongues. We're not just Pentecostal and distinctively Pentecostal because we shout and dance. We're Pentecostal because we believe, amen, everything that the Word of God teaches. And we believe you have to be saved to go to heaven. And we believe God is the only one that can save you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. We believe in heaven sweet and hell hot. Glory to God. And that we need a deliverer. We need a deliverer. We need a deliverer. We need a deliverer. Deliver us from evil. Hallelujah. 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 Blessed be the name of Jesus. It's okay. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, that will be it to quit off on. Hallelujah. 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 Have you noticed? We started praying for young people. You know what's going to happen? It's going to get worse. Amen. Because the devil knows that the Spirit of God is going to move in response to our intercession. And he's going to crank it up. Amen. Amen. They ain't going to like this place. They're not going to like this praise. They're not going to like seeing people seek the Lord. It's going to bother them. Can you say amen? Why? Because the devil don't want to turn them loose. But he don't have a choice. God is still on the throne. They're our kids. Hallelujah. We have the right as kings and priests to intercede for them. Hallelujah. 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 No God but Jehovah. No king but Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 How many people gathered here right now know that you're saved? Amen. You know you had an encounter with God. How many did it change your life? Can you say amen? You're not unique. You're not, amen, separate. Amen. Listen to me. That's what happens to everybody that meets the Lord. I don't just profess that I know him. Amen. I endeavor to serve him. I do not do it perfectly. Neither do you. But my heart has been changed. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I can't sleep around, Brother Taylor. Oh, my God in heaven. Amen. I want this righteousness. I want this holiness. Hallelujah. I don't want another cigarette. I don't want another glass of beer. Do you understand me? I've been there, done that. I don't want no more. What do I need that for? Hallelujah. I got Pepsi without sin. I got, oh yes, and it doesn't mess me up and alter my thinking and lower my standards. Hallelujah. I got Coca-Cola. I got iced tea with lemon. Hallelujah. I'm not addicted to sin. Do you hear me? Shalabaro shalabarianda, sekarabaho sanda, shalabaritena. Be ye holy, ye that bear the vessels of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 It's this compromise that brought the sickness among us. It's this compromise that brought premature death to us. Mashallabati, shalabakosa, hallelujah, for this cause, for this cause. Many of you are sick for this cause. Many of you die before your time. Can you say amen? You can't treat the holy things with irreverence and disrespect. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. If we defile it and continue to do it, him will God destroy. This is holy, Sean. This is a holy Bible. This is the Holy Ghost. This is a holy God. And we are a holy nation. The The Bible said he that despises the message of holiness doesn't despise man, but God who gave us his Spirit. There are people that don't want to hear that God wants them to live right. Because they love their sin more than they love God. Pray for your children. Don't give them false security. Moms and daddies, cry out to God. Your church kids are as lost as my son was. And need deliverance just as bad. Don't you get it? Have you been saved this long with the Bible and you don't get it? My grandchildren are lost. If one of them gets in a wreck tonight, they're lost. I'm interceding for them, but they are lost. I don't want them to go to hell. There's nowhere else to go if you're not going to heaven. It's important to me. Stir us, O God. Shalaburu shalabari under the bosiki under the bota, salabariti under the bosata, under the bosata. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. They that are of the light, what did they do, Sean? They that are of the light come to the light. They don't run from truth, they run to it and they embrace it. That their deeds might be manifest, that they are what? Wrought in light. Amen. But they that are of the darkness run from the light and deeper into the darkness. Come on, walk in the light as he is in the light. Hallelujah. For we walk in the light as he is in the light. The blood of Jesus has a continuous intercessory effect in our life. It keeps on cleansing, 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 and cleansing again. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to the King. Glory to the King. The church is into head counts. God's looking for souls that are truly saved. I want a head count, but I want a head count of saved people. Can you say amen? I want that number to represent people that have truly come to know Jesus Christ. How about you? Hallelujah. I'm expecting a mighty shaking, a mighty move of God. Hallelujah. That's why God took me to 1 Peter. Instead of talking about David and his valor, we talked about the church and the call to holiness. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 You know what happens in heaven? One soul, so vitally important to God, because he understands the destiny of that soul better than anyone. When one person gets truly saved, there's joy in the presence of angels. That means not only are angels rejoicing, amen, but God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit begin to shout victory. Amen. And all the saints that are preceded us into the presence of God, there's a holy pause in heaven when it happens. Glory to God. The night I got saved, all of heaven stopped and paid attention. Hallelujah. And then broke into joyous celebration. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. We're going to close with a song. And it's about the fact that they got the word. That meant all those saints that preceded us into heaven and all the angels of the Lord, the day I got saved, they got the word. It made news. Everybody say it made news in heaven. So I want you to know what this song is about. It made news in heaven the day you got saved. And every time a soul comes to Jesus, it makes news in heaven. They got the word. And we'll tell you something else I agree with this song. They're not going to start that coronation celebration until we're all there, assembled around the throne. Every Christian from every kindred, tongue, and nation. But when we all get there, can you say, man, the people that are saved, the people that are being saved, and the people that are going to be saved, when we all end up there, we're going to crown him. Can you say, man, we're going to crown him because he's the reason we made it through. Glory to God. Let's rejoice before we go home. I believe God's heard our cries, seen our tears. He's going to bring us shaking. Hallelujah. In our families, in our churches, wherever he can shake, he's going to shake tonight.